my top people over there that I couldn't farm without, all are immigrants.
Today on KSL Plus, immigration issues.
There's not enough supply of locally born, U.S.-born labor to satisfy the demand.
Industries are struggling to get the qualified workers they need to build buildings and homes and to help put food on the table.
This is a matter of whether you're going to eat or not every day.
I'm Matt Rascone, and this is KSL Plus, KSL TV's digital-only news show and podcast. And today we're diving into the issues the construction and farming industries are facing and how they impact us here at home. So let's start at the grocery store. According to the USDA, we spend less on food than ever before. Between 1960 and 1998, the average share of disposable personal income spent on total food by Americans fell from 17 to 10%. In 2019, the USDA said Americans' food budgets hit an historic low. Just 9.5% of our income goes to food. That's groceries and eating out. One of the big reasons we spend less: immigrant farm workers. They make up 70% of the agricultural workforce nationwide. And my colleague Garna Mejia joins me now. And Garna, I know that you've been looking at some of these issues surrounding immigration when it comes to these industries. So let's start with agriculture. You met with Ron Gibson. He's the president of the Utah Farm Bureau Federation.
I'm not doing this for the money.
And also a farmer, you know, in Salt Lake City.
I'm doing this because it's in my heart.
Yeah, we took a drive up to Ron Gibson's farm up north, and it was really interesting. Something that he pointed out to us is that, you know, his farm is heavily reliant on immigrant labor. So immigrants from different types of what we would consider legal status, those that live in the country that have the ability to work here, and those that are actually coming in from other countries. The point of our visit was to specifically discuss the Farmers Workforce Modernization Act of 2021. And so what that bill does is it proposes changes to the agriculture industry in terms of the type of workforce and laborers that they can bring on. At the end of the day, what Ron shared with us is that there's a huge labor shortage on farms across Utah and across the country. So there's some pros that he likes about this bill, but at the end of the day, it's something that he's going to oppose.
Now, what is the issue, though, with, like, for example, why can't he get, you know, workers right here in the U.S. and what where's the disconnect when it comes to actually bringing on these immigrant workers?
Yeah. Okay. So something that's really interesting, and I don't know if I just said it, but 70% of workers on a farm across the country are going to be immigrants. And so the issue that Ron brings up is that, quite frankly, there's just not enough American-born people, U.S.-born people with legal status that want to work on a farm. He tells us that the salary is great, but they just don't have the labor people interested in working in a field for, you know, multiple hours a day. And so he shared with us, you know, there's this program which allows farmers to bring in workers from other countries, as I just mentioned, but there's caps on it. There's kind of a lot of regulations that go into play with it.
The biggest issue with putting a cap on visas as we roll forward is we don't know really how many undocumented workers are working in agriculture today.
And so it makes it just that much harder for them to get the work that they need. And he says, you know, it really comes down to something that affects everybody's pocketbooks. If you want to continue paying $1.99 at the grocery store for a bag of grapes, then you need to kind of understand how this food supply works and where there's this break in people willing to go out into those fields and pick those products. So that's kind of the issue, is that there are just not American people that want these jobs. And he actually points out, which I thought was really interesting, he's posted, you know, every year on KSL Classified, these job openings, $15 an hour to go and work on the farm.
It's been 4 years since I've had anyone apply for that job from America.
He hasn't had one person apply for that job that is not an immigrant.
But these aren't jobs that you can necessarily go to. I think you even asked him, you know, go over to Home Depot and go grab someone. I mean, you kind of told the story a little bit of Genaro Lopez. What's the story? And these are maybe more than just, you know, grabbing people off the street to cover this work.
Well, and yeah, you know, and kind of getting into that concept of grabbing people off the street, you also have to understand that a lot of those people don't have a legal status in America. So there is demand for that workforce, right? What Ron kind of talked about was just kind of all levels of skilled labor that are required on a farm, from someone that's picking grapes to the mechanic that's fixing the tractor to someone else that knows how to milk a cow. And so he says, you know, there's this concept that a lot of immigrant workers are not skilled, but a lot of these people are very, very skilled. They don't have a bachelor's or a master's or a law degree, but they have the ability to know how to care and nurture for an animal and help it produce more milk, with it, which at the end of the day ends up helping us.
I can't just go replace those people by going to town and trying to find somebody without a job. These are skilled positions that we have to make this business work and to make to help to feed America. And without those, we're out. Without those, we can't do this.
Right. And so he talks about how his farm, you know, there's those key employees that if he did not have them, you know, his farm would not be able to function. And all of those key employees are from other countries, came here as immigrants.
Okay. So let's get back to the bill that you already mentioned, the Farm Workforce Modernization Bill or Act. It's passed the House, it's in the Senate. So just to recap, it would give legal status to undocumented workers, increase the amount of visas for temporary farm workers, mandate a wage increase up from $15 an hour here in Utah. What doesn't Gibson like about the bill?
So he feels that the bill doesn't address two key points, right, which he feels are like major obstacles that farmers are facing. One of them is being able to have control over how many workers can come and work. And if you look at it, you know, as I mentioned, 70% of the workforce on a farm nationwide, and this is, I think the statistics is a few years old, but they're immigrants. Now, within that group, you have another portion that are undocumented, right? So understanding, getting a real idea of how important foreign labor is to the agriculture industry is, I think, something that we need to really consider. So what he talks about is this act as it stands, is it is going to put a cap on how many people can come and work, and it doesn't address the issue of what labor they can do. So he feels it's an antiquated policy that we have in place from the 70s or 80s, you know, 60s, when they were trying to prevent, to help Americans feel like if you want these jobs, they can be yours. And we're not going to, you know, shortchange you and drive down wages. And so there was caps as to, you know, if you were going to bring in a seasonal worker, then they had to be doing seasonal labor. So they could only be working on a tomato field because those are seasonal products. They could not come and work on a dairy farm. And that continues to be in place today.
So this program that we have right now is working for some sectors of agriculture, but it doesn't work for all sectors of agriculture.
And so Ron feels that needs to be addressed. That if you need a worker that's in, you know, a dairy, then they can come and work on the dairy and do that maybe 6-9 months, that they shouldn't be limited to the work that they can do. So that's concept number one. The second concept is this bill requires that they have every year they're going to get a wage increase. And so, you know, as he explains it, right now they're paying about $15 an hour. If they're employees that are coming in to America, they also have to consider housing and transportation. And he's like, so at the end of the day, ends up being in the 20s, you know, low 20s per hour.
They're costing me $23 an hour to pick that tomato for you. And that's unsustainable. Like, food is too cheap in America for us to be able to sustain that.
He says if you take that and you're forcing an automatic wage increase, but you're not forcing an automatic wage increase or cost increase of produce, then he's like, it's going to make us bankrupt. So if we have more workers that can come, but we can't afford them, we're still in the same problem.
So the problem with mandating to me what we have to pay our employees is nobody mandates what I can sell my product for. So I sell my product on the free market, but you mandate what I have to pay my employees here. that doesn't work for me.
The other thing that he kind of brings up is that he doesn't want it to be federal control over how many workers can come and making those decisions. He feels that it's something that needs to be done at the state level, and allowing each legislator to look at its agriculture industry, dairy farms, and figure out, okay, how many workers do we need? Where are these gaps? And how can we best fill them in at the state level, you know, and give them that control?
So the bill would allow these farm workers legal status in the country. What's the impact there? What was Gibson's take?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Matt. So this bill, it would also create a path towards a legal status for folks that have been working for years on a farm, right? I think it's anywhere between 4 to 8 years. It would give them, quote unquote, what they call the green card. So you wouldn't become a citizen, but you would have residency. And so Ron really likes that. He says, you know, I have those employees. I've known those farm workers who are here as undocumented immigrants, and they don't have that door open to them for upward mobility, right? So he says those that have worked for us for years, like, they deserve that. Let's give them those opportunities.
Those people should have green cards.
However, that doesn't necessarily solve the problem of having enough workers on a farm, because the way he sees it is if you give someone a legal status, you know, right now they're doing this job because it can people turn a blind eye, maybe, or it's easier to get a job on a farm as an undocumented person. Once you have that legal status, you're going to want to go to your local fast food restaurant and work in the air conditioning, or seek an education, or do other things, you know, that are really part of the American dream.
But once they have a green card, if they don't stay and work on the farm, then I'm going to be in trouble again. And so the question is the visa cap number. That's why that's so important.
And so he says, I love that concept. I think it's great for farm workers. But the problem is we still have a labor shortage on a farm. And so that's where he brings in and really advocates for this concept of bringing in foreign workers to work here temporarily, to work here legally temporarily, but be able to go home at the end of a season or at the end of 6 months or whatever.
Es que yo no las maltrato, no.
And we spoke with a couple of the foreign workers that he had on the farm, and they mentioned to us, you know, I love where I come from. I love Mexico, El Salvador. I think there were some from Argentina. And if I could have that ability, you know, to continue coming and going, that's what I would like to do. I want to remain in my country and have my family there, but be able to come and work here, make $15 in an hour, which for the exact same, if not slightly harder labor, I would be making, you know, in Mexico, $15 in 2 days, perhaps.
All right. Well, another industry that has really been struggling when it comes to immigration or immigrant workers is construction. And Garner, I know you spoke to Chad Magleby. It's the owner of Magleby Construction. What is the situation that he and his company have found themselves in?
Yeah, you know, that's another situation. Just as you mentioned, there's major labor shortage when it comes to the construction industry. And we're learning that from Magleby Construction, which is a major player in the construction industry here in Utah. They're heavily involved in the National Association of Home Builders. They are putting a lot of money into lobbying efforts to raise awareness about this worker shortage in the construction industry. And so they say, you know, take a look at our, you know, construction sites across the valley. Go to any new home project, go anywhere else that you need to go to. And you're going to see that the majority of the folks that are working there are going to be foreign born. They're going to be from different countries, or, you know, they're going to be immigrants. And so they say there is just this, and I think I looked up a statistic, don't quote me on it, but I can look it up for you guys. But I think a few years ago, maybe 6 to 7 years ago, they were saying that for every 4 people that were retiring, there was only 3 people that were coming in to replace those jobs, right?
The labor force that might have built our homes 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, they're aging out. These qualified craftsmen and there's not a generation of craft workers to take their place.
So you have this generation of skilled, hard work type of laborers that are leaving the industry, that are going to be retiring, but you just don't have enough of the new generation wanting and taking an interest in the construction industry. And so that's the problem that they face, is that the majority of people that want to work are immigrants. But if they don't have a legal status, folks like Magleby Construction cannot employ them.
And so we're really committed to doing this legally and lawfully.
Magleby seemed to really have a problem with the way Congress was handling, or really not handling, the immigration issues.
The insanity that happens in the political scene in terms of trying to posture a position and not solve this immigration issue is just mind-boggling to me as a business owner.
Both parties that we spoke with, both the farmers and, you know, Construction Magleby, feel that way. There's just this real frustration with their perception of how Congress, how legislators, how political leaders on both sides of the aisle are handling the what they call, you know, immigration issue.
The politicians and the games that they play in the background around the issue of immigration are going to stifle our economy. And it's frustrating. It's really frustrating that there's not politicians out there who have a moral compass or the courage to solve this issue. And it seems like they just push immigration to the sideline and tackle things that are maybe less emotional or less controversial.
And so they say, you know, you can't bag this into one thing, you know, and it's a heavily charged issue. There's a lot of emotions with it. But at the end of the day, you have to understand the importance of immigrant work on our economy, right? And on building our cities and whatnot. So what Magleby was saying was, I'm just frustrated and I'm done with politicians and their lack of, you know, what he considers inaction when it comes to finding solutions for the construction industry and this worker shortage that they say is currently present and is only getting worse, you know, in years to come, is only going to get worse in years to come. And so what they did a couple of, I think it was about 5 to 6 years ago, they decided, hey, maybe there's a way we can go and find and recruit skilled, you know, laborers, you know, people that want to work with their hands, carpenters, technicians, construction type workers that we can recruit from another country since we can't find them here. So let's try Mexico. We can find them. We can recruit them. We can train them. And maybe there's a employment workforce visa program that they can come in and legally, lawfully work in America and be able to keep our company afloat and help us keep building America as it's growing. And so they went down there. They set up shop. They tell me it cost them millions of dollars, only to find out that it's a lot harder than they thought it was going to be. But that just kind of underscores their frustration with Congress and political leaders in not addressing this, you know, broken system of immigration, is really what they're saying.
My stance on immigration is this: if they're legal, lawful, and contributing, we want every one of them.
So they were tired of waiting around and really took things into their own hands, it sounds like.
Yep, that's exactly what they did. So when they found all the hurdles with Mexico, they decided, okay, well, why don't we try like Puerto Rico? Puerto Rico does not have the same legal hurdles that you would have in Mexico because Puerto Rico is a U.S. territory. So they thought maybe we can find and recruit and train and certify folks from Puerto Rico that can then come and work in the States. And so they tell me that in the last 4 or 5 years, I think Puerto Rico was after Mexico, they've only had about 12 people that they've been able to help transition and move to the States. And out of those 12 people, only 6 have, you know, really stuck around because there's cultural differences, longer work week in America versus Puerto Rico. And so they say, you know, it's that hard. And I said, you know, that's really costly. And their answer to me was, yeah, but that's 6 more workers than we had before.
And one of the other things he mentioned was that they do make it a point to only hire those who can come into the country legally, but that comes with its own costs. I mean, not only financially, but time.
It takes years, right? It's super expensive. And the system is so broken that it encourages individuals to come here illegally.
As I understand it from, you know, farmers all over California, Utah, Arizona, there's a system called E-Verify. So if you get a job on a farm, the government, the federal government, does not necessarily require you to verify that the information that that prospective employee has provided is legal. That's as I understand it, and I can, you know, look that up for you guys. When it comes to the construction industry, they require E-Verify. So every single employee has to have a legal status, and their paperwork has to be in order. And so they're just more set in what the requirements are. And so Magleby, because of that, they are forced and have to only hire workers that have a legal status. And so that makes it that much harder because, you know, if you have someone that wants to work, but they're undocumented, they're not going to be able to get a job on a construction site, but those are the people that want the job, right? And so that's why they had to go out of the country and try to find workers that could legally and lawfully come into the country with some sort of an employment visa and do it.
You know, there's great skilled workers here in America, but the demand growth that we have, not just in construction, but other hard labor industries, there's not enough supply of locally born, U.S. born labor to satisfy the demand. And that's really, I think that's always been the case.
I think both of these stories that you covered really drive home the fact that what's happening at the border, what's not happening at the border, impacts us here at home.
Well, and I think, you know, you touch on a really important point, right? Because you can kind of look at this immigration thing and we all want to just kind of make it simple, but it's really a complex issue, right? So what's happening at the border doesn't necessarily reflect the need and the importance and the contributions that the immigrants have currently right now in the country that there is for that immigrant labor, you know, but those are issues that need to be addressed. And something that, you know, Magleby and that the farmers were saying is we're not saying that, you know, we shouldn't be able to track everyone that comes into the country. Like, no, we should be able to legally and lawfully track people that come into the country and allow them and create opportunities for them, but also have consequences for those that, you know, shouldn't be here or that are breaking the law or quite frankly, just not contributing to building the American dream. And so something that they, that was part of their frustration with this. We're just frustrated with politicians because they just make it all sound all or nothing. And we really just need to have a common sense approach to this immigration issue.
Okay. Garna Mejia, thank you very much. And you can catch her reporting on KSL TV and KSLTV.com. We appreciate your time. The debate over immigration at our nation's capital continues, of course. The frustrating part for some of these companies is the lack of urgencies, and there's no real timeline for when things might change for them and their workers. That does it for us this week on KSL Plus. I'm Matt Rascone. See you again next week.